I just extend a welcome to you all this morning. And in our continuation with our series on Mark's Gospel, we're going to be looking at a story that we looked at on Palm Sunday. Well, the reading is the same reading, but we're looking at it from a very different perspective today. And that is Jesus' approach to Jerusalem. And if you recall the story, you will know that upon his approach, he asked two of the disciples to go in to a village opposite where they would find a colt that was bound. And if they were to be questioned about this, then they were to say that the Lord had need of it. So what we're going to be looking at today is that something which is bound, that which the Lord has need of, that he might deliver us from the effects and perhaps the dominance that our selfishness can have in our lives. You see, there is something that needs to be loosed by us if we are to have the Lord do the work that we need to have him do within our own lives, that we may become more compassionate, more understanding, more loving people. And in loosing this thing, we then become co-workers, very much so, in the development of a new creation. For the Lord is seeking to build within us a new will and a new understanding. Our old will, our desires or lusts, grounded in selfishness. And our old understanding, those beliefs and ideas that support our selfishness. Those beliefs and ideas that put me first. But it is by means of truth from the Lord's word that we can be instructed as to what good really is. A will for good or a desire for what is good is what the Lord is wanting to create within each one of our lives. And a new understanding is born, for we know then what good is from a desire to do it. The Lord undertakes to create within us an understanding that brings us insight as to how we may love others more effectively and more appropriately. So what is it that is bound? And what is it that the Lord is in need of from us? This is what we're going to be looking at today. We have a reading this morning, our first reading from the Word, which is from the Book of Psalms, reading Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lutes and on the harp, with harmonious sound, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high for evermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked, who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "Why are you doing? What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So there are a number of basic correspondences in this passage that we need to just refresh our memories about, because we've actually covered them off before, but it's good just to go back over things and have them established within the forefront of our minds. Of course, Jesus is the Lord's love for our salvation. Jesus is the Lord's desire for our good. And he is also the Word. And so when we read of the Lord in his Word, we need to remind ourselves that the Lord's presence with us is in fact his Word. And so where it speaks of Jesus, we could equally substitute that with his Word in us. So Jesus is the operation of the Lord's Word within our hearts and minds, as he leads us to become more compassionate, loving and understanding people. And we have spent much time looking at the disciples, and of course they are the principles drawn from the Lord's Word under which we discipline ourselves in the spiritual path. These ideas are drawn from the Word, and they are established in our life as we seek to live according to them. And we have here mentioned a number of towns or villages, and these represent collections of ideas that we hold to, that we are comfortable living within. So that is what Jerusalem, Bethphage, and Bethany are different aspects of ideas that we hold within our minds and dwell in and meditate upon. And of course we have mention of the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives is the Lord's love. And it's the Lord's love because the olive tree, or the fruit of the olive tree, is full of oil. An oil that is used for soothing, healing, calming. Oil represents the Lord's love. And of course, the property of oil is that it's flammable. And fire always corresponds to His love. And so what we have seen is that the Lord has progressively been moving towards Jerusalem. And last week we looked at the fact that He passed through Jericho. And Jericho, the name Jericho is a name which means its moon. And the moon is reflects its light from the sun. It has no light in and of itself. And the sun, of course, is that supreme symbol of divine love and wisdom. And the moon, that as a body that can reflect that in our lives, represents truth. The ideas that we draw that teach us about the sun or about divine love and wisdom. And so we saw last week that Jericho was the literal sense of the word. It was on the borders of Canaan. And we pass through that first. So we have a literal understanding gained from the word. And as we pass through Jericho, it represents moving more internally. And we saw there that Bartimaeus was healed, or our blindness is beginning to drop away and we are beginning to see things in a new light. We're beginning to see things from the perspective of the Lord's Word. The next town that's mentioned is Bethphage. And this means house of green figs. As such, it represents figs that are yet unripe. And these are natural kindnesses that support and sustain people at a natural level of life. For the fig was a principal food in this part of the world. And so it's the natural goodness that people have. And being green, it means that we are coming to see that that natural goodness that we had attributed to ourselves, that is not us. Even at that level of life, it is the Lord. We do it from our effort, yes, but it's the Lord's ability to move into our life and motivate us to good that results in us being able to do even the most basic kindnesses to one another. We then have mentioned of the village of Bethany. Bethany means the house of dates. And it refers again to a fruit, but this time the fruit of the date palm. And the date palm is a palm or a tree which is straight and strong and draws sustenance wherever there is water in the desert. The date palm will grow. And so the date palm, which offers hope to those travelling through the desert, hope of water, represents the knowledge of the Lord's salvation. That the Lord will indeed bring us through. That He is forever there, close to us, guiding and directing our thoughts and affections so that the necessary healing can take place within our lives. And the date palm represents those aspects of the word that clearly teach that the Lord is our deliverer and saviour, and that He carries us through the trials of life. And so it is that these two villages are mentioned, and then it is that the Lord speaks to two disciples, and He speaks to them from the Mount of Olives, and He tells them to go to the village opposite. We don't know what village it is. We're only told that it is opposite where they were. And of course, the fact that the Lord is moving or instructing from the Mount of Olives shows us that it is His love and concern for our spiritual welfare by which He sends forth the two disciples. We're not told who these disciples are, but the fact that the number two is mentioned, we know that it speaks of the two great principles upon which an authentic spirituality is founded. That is, love to the Lord and love to the neighbor. These are the two that go forth from the Mount of Olives to the village opposite. And there are many things within us that oppose the Lord's love. And we are challenged, or being challenged here, to go into those things for a specific purpose, to extract something that the Lord needs, a colt. The disciples going represents our willingness to follow the Lord's word. And the Lord says, as soon as you enter that village, you'll find a colt tied there that no one has ever sat on. And He says to them to loose it and bring it. And He said, if anyone asks you why, just say that the Lord has need of it. And then He will send it here. Now, when they enter the village, they indeed find the colt. Our Bible says tied, but in the Greek it's stronger. It says the colt having been bound. And it speaks of being, it says that it is bound by the door outside in the way or in the road. And what is this? Well, the door speaks of the senses, because it is through our senses that all things enter as a door. And so this colt, whatever this represents, is bound at the door. It's bound to the level of life represented by our senses. Now, a colt is the offspring of Nass in this context. And for those of you who have been looking into the story of Ishmael, you will know that there are two levels to our rational faculties. There is the aspect of Ishmael, who represents being right and being firm in that, and everybody else being wrong. That's the use of the rational faculty, which lacks love and compassion. And the next son that is born of Abram is Isaac, who represents that rational in a higher sense, now being able to operate from good and love and compassion and mercy in its application of its truth. So where Ishmael would hit you with the truth without mercy, Isaac can bring the truth in a way that brings healing and nurturing to our very being. And this is the son of a she-ass. This colt is what this is. It is our rational faculty which is able to carry the Lord once it has been released from being bound to the level of our senses. And because it is those two great principles represented by the disciples, so it is that our rational faculty, which has been used to defend ourselves, to defend our own selfish states, can now be released. Because when we operate from a love to the Lord which is a love for His Word, and a love toward our neighbour, which is a genuine concern for their spiritual well-being, so the rational faculty takes on a new use, a spiritual use, a use through which the Lord is able to operate. And so it is that these two great loves are able to bring this faculty and reconnect it with the Lord. And what do? Well, they throw their garments over it. And of course, the garments represent our external thinking and ideas, the things we clothe our minds with. And in throwing their garments upon the cult, they acknowledge that the Lord is King. That the Word, that this huge concern that He has for our salvation is the leading principle over all things that we have and possess. And so it is that in throwing their garments upon the cult and the Lord sitting upon them, we have a rational faculty able to carry that love represented by the Lord into Jerusalem. Prior to this, the leaders, the religious leaders of the day, had been coming to Jesus to check Him out. But now with this faculty developed to this point, the Lord is able to enter into the very core of the power of the loves of self and the world. And so it is, the stage is set for the final confrontation between the Lord who represents love and those loves of self, loves of the world that have sought to dominate our lives for so long. With the Lord riding upon the colt, we have the ability to see from His perspective. And so it is, it says that He enters Jerusalem and just observes all that is there. And this is our ability to begin to see what our lower nature is truly like. How it gets in the way of us wanting to express those deep loves that we so want to express. We're able to see the operation of our selfishness, the nature of our natural man. We're able to see ourselves in the light of the Lord's Word. Then we read that the Lord retires to Bethany. And so it is, prior to His final entry, He retires back into that knowledge, that knowledge that the Lord is the Saviour, that He alone can deliver us from our selfishness. With darkness coming on, there is a lack of clarity, lack of ability to see. And when that occurs, we need to retire back into the knowledge and ideas represented by Bethany. Ideas regarding the Lord as the Saviour, able to deliver us, that He is able to carry us through all things, and that He will see us through until our joy returns. A reading from the Heavenly Doctrines in the Arcana Celestia, paragraph 9212. In general, clothing means everything that clothes another, and so whatever is relatively more external. Consequently, the external or natural man is called the clothing in relation to the internal or spiritual man. In a similar way, truth is called the clothing in relation to good, because truth clothes good. Likewise, factual knowledge of truth in relation to the truth of faith, which belongs to the internal man. Sensory perception, which constitutes the lowest level of life with a person, is the clothing in relation to factual knowledge of truth. When Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, they brought the she-ass and the colt and laid their garments on them and set him on them. But a very great crowd spread their garments on the road, while others were breaking off branches from trees and spreading them on the road. Riding on a she-ass and her colt was a representative sign of the supreme judge and king. This is evident in Mark and Luke and John and in Zechariah, where it says of the Lord that he would ride on an ass, and on a young ass, the son of a she-ass. When the disciples laid their garments on the she-ass and her colt, it represented the recognition that truths in their entirety were the foundation on which the Lord as supreme judge and king rested. For the disciples represented the Lord's church in respect of truths and forms of good, and their garments truths themselves. This same recognition was likewise represented when the crowd spread their garments, also the branches of trees on the road. Another reason why they spread them on the road was that the road means the truth by means of which a member of the church is led. And the reason why they also spread the branches of trees was that trees meant perceptions and also cognitions or knowledge of truth and good, so that their branches are the truths themselves. Those actions were also performed then because it was customary for the chief persons among the people to lay their garments on supreme judges and kings' she-asses and mules when they rode in pomp on them, and for the people themselves to spread their garments on the road or the branches of the trees instead. For in heaven, judgeship consists in divine truth derived from good, and kingship in divine truth. So it is that the Lord asks us to lay upon him all our thoughts and affections, that he may take control and guide our path. Amen.